Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
All right, we're back. Good morning. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thank you, thank you, thank you for waking up with us here on this February 27th edition. I mentioned Thursdays around here, always busy, and this is a great way to get it going with our favorite historian, Janet Gagelin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
Well, great to see your smiling face in here.
Well, good to be here.
What we're discussing front page news. We've had a good time with this.
Yeah, we had some good stories last week.
Yeah, you did.
But sometimes, as I've said, not the best stories are on the front page. They're on the inside page. But, you know, when you've got 19 pages in a newspaper, you know, a lot of ads, you don't get to all of them. But sure. So we'll keep going with front page news and see what we can bring along.
Okay, well, it's always good. How long does it take you to dig through these?
Depends. If I get stuck on something else that seems interesting, then it could take a little longer.
Does that happen a lot where you'll see something and go, okay, I'm going to venture over here?
Yes. Especially if I didn't know anything about it, which is kind of what we've got today.
Okay.
We have one that I had no idea about.
So. All right. I'll let you dig into it here. What do you got?
Well, the first one, of course, remember that in 1925 we were a dry state. You know, we didn't only have rum runners. We also had moonshiners. So we talked about those before. But we had simultaneous searches at 8 different locations on this day, and they were looking for intoxicating liquor or alcohol. So at the same time, 8 places were searched, and they weren't just residences, they were businesses. And of that 8, we ended up with 2 arrests because of 3 locations of liquor. So we had the Canham Barbershop, and he had 15 half-pint bottles between his residence and his barbershop.
Oh, I bet he had a good time cutting hair.
Yeah, so I think he was probably like, he didn't probably make it. He probably just had it so people could,
okay,
could buy from him,
right,
you know. And then we had the Manchester Bakery, you know, another, you know, business.
Uh-huh.
And he had 4 1-gallon tins of something resembling alcohol.
Hmm.
That would... Who knows?
Probably just yeast to make the bread rise. I'm sure he had a pretty good excuse.
Yeah, and so Lauren Canham got arrested, and he had to go before the judge, and he was bound over to court. But the owner of Manchester's Bakery, he was on the road because he was selling products.
Okay.
Not alcohol.
Not alcohol, just the products.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So he would have to, you know, they'd catch up with him later. So Wahpeton... The Wahpeton Wops were in the state championship in 1925 for boys basketball, men's basketball. And they were playing Devil's Lake, and they lost 22-14.
Wow, not a real high-scoring affair.
No, but, you know, in 25, you had 5 people on the floor, but they played it much like a football game where you would continue passing. And so you had low scores because everybody was passing the ball.
Right.
And so you would, you know, gain control by intercepting the pass. Very little dribbling.
No shot clock.
No shot clock. Yeah, none of that kind of
none
stuff.
None of that going on.
Yeah, and so they lost 22-14 in a game that had a lot of confusion for the Wops in the first half. And they settled down, and they got their shooting eyes cleared, and... They went back to the usual, you know, style of play, but they were down 11 at halftime and just couldn't come back from
that. Okay.
So,
well, you got 14 points. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and it was 2 points for a basket, so it wasn't like you got 1.
Right.
You know, but they lost, so that was the end of their season. We've talked about this one before, and this was the streetcar.
Yeah,
and so it ended in 1925. March 31st was the last time that the car went from Wahpeton to Breckenridge.
Okay, and it did run between the two towns.
It did,
okay.
Yeah. And prior to starting it, there was a person who was on the bridge and doing a pedestrian study. So he kept track of how many pedestrians walked back and forth. And so would this idea of a streetcar be good? Would it work? And... So he got some investors, and yes, it would work. And so the first year of operation, they made 20% or 40% of their money back.
Okay, so, not bad.
No, so they did very, very well. And then, you know, things happened like in, you know, the streetcar was two rails and it went down the middle of Dakota Avenue and Minnesota Avenue. And so 1919, I think it was, that Wahpeton said, well, we better pave a little bit of road here. And so they had to pay for the paving between the rails. That cost them quite a bit of money. And then along came Minnesota Avenue, and they said, well, we're going to do the same thing. So they got so far behind that it was not going to be a good business venture anymore. They, you know, $30,000 in 1925, how do you recover that?
Right, that's a lot of money.
It is.
Then, yeah.
And then along came the automobile. So people didn't need to have that streetcar system going back and forth. They could just drive over there.
Still, though, what a great piece of history.
Yeah, and it says, the streetcar will soon be gone, and strangers will inquire what the tracks are for.
And I'm sure they did.
They did, and even when Dakota Avenue and Minnesota Avenue were repaved a while ago and dug up, you know, and starting over again, people could see.
There were the tracks, yeah.
They were just covered up year after year, yeah. So amazing, amazing. All right, so this is one I did not know really very much about.
Okay.
But I found the article that says about the Meridian Highway.
Meridian Highway.
Yes.
All right.
And in probably about 1920, 21, Kansas and Nebraska thought, you know, we should develop a highway that would go from the north end of the United States, which would be like by Canada, Winnipeg, all the way down to Texas or through Texas, maybe even into Mexico. Those two states got it going. And they inquired into other states, is this a good idea? Can you help us, you know, get this trail, so to speak, going? And so then more states signed on, you know. Of course, Canada did, North and South Dakota, which was a big link.
Right.
Because then you could get the Kansas-Nebraska area, and then you got Oklahoma and Texas who came along. So you had all of these states lined up, and they started the construction in each state to bring this to happen.
The Meridian Road.
Yep, right. And then in 1925, the government took over and said, well, we're going to make this a U.S. highway. So it became U.S. Highway 81.
No kidding. That's how that got started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And so there was a big bridge, and it's still in existence. It's the Meridian Bridge at Yankton, South Dakota. And it's still there, but it's not a functional bridge because it goes across the Missouri. And it at one time was able to raise and lower, but it's now just a pedestrian bridge. And
then all these
other little areas had the Chisholm Trail. They had these trails that came from west to east or east to west, the Yellowstone, and this Meridian Highway then crossed all of those trails. So it really was had a big impact. The people thought, hey, we're going to have people coming from the north to the south for the winter.
Right.
So it was a good business thing.
Absolutely.
And then it became the Pan American Highway. So now it would go from Canada all the way through Texas into Mexico and South America. So a nice little piece of history that North Dakota and Richland County was a part of.
That is great.
Yeah,
Janet, we're out of time. Listen, I could talk all morning about this. What do we got next week? More front page news?
Oh, yes. So there's always something out there.
All right. Janet Gageland, talking history. Always great to have you in here.
Good to be here.
All right. It's 818 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
Fun fact, you're likely within 25 miles of your nearest H&R Block office, so you don't have to go out of your way to get your taxes squared away. Put our 70 years of tax expertise to work for you. At H&R Block, walk in or make an appointment today at 211 Dakota Avenue. Call 701-642-2128.
No one woke up this morning and thought,
I want to go Hagel.
At Quality Toyota, we don't do that. Our bottom line pricing means you get our best price the first time, every time. You'll even have that price before you talk to anyone, because that price is listed online at qualitytoyota.net and in the window of every vehicle. Simple, easy, stress-free. That's the